You ready?
I believe so, yes.
All right, here we go.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood. Terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver.
It's a bit long, sorry.
No mere mortal can resist the evil of the
Overseas Connection Podcast.
Here we go!
Did it work? Did it work?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to episode 445 of your technically challenged and quite spooky Overseas Connection podcast. It is October 28th, 2017. I am your host today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me today, we have the man from the north, King of the North, even. Huh? What do you think of that, Fraser?
King of the North.
Fraser Moore.
Thunder Raven.
King of the North.
King of the North, I'll take. Thank you very much, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here today with your good self. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Did you have a nice week off?
Yeah. Actually, 2 weeks off. Back-to-back weeks. I wasn't on the podcast. So it feels like it's been a while, but it's been good. It's been good. Out and about, playing some golf, doing some wine tasting, some costume party stuff. There's lots to talk about.
Nice.
Yeah, I won't start it off yet, though.
Okay.
Also, in the podcast room, from the control room, from up yonder and to my left.
DJ Slaphead.
DJ Slaphead, and exactly. Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Yeah, Mark Annex on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, Twitter, everything. Back on again. Had a week off myself, so yeah, great to be back.
It is. It
good
is
to have
great
you
to be back,
Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to see you back for sure, because that's for a good reason.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Everything. Good news on the family side.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenny came home today. Just today. So it's been in another 2 weeks. Just when we thought she was getting better, she took a bit of a downhill nosedive again, and her lung filled up with water again, so she has to have a drain put in, her heart started filling, all this bollocks, and yeah, another 2 weeks of panic, worry, and stress, but yeah, she's okay now, thankfully.
Yeah, now I have it on good authority that a good friend of Jenny's told my friend, who knew a friend of a friend, that Jenny was kind of getting used to you doing all the chores, and so yeah, she wanted to go back to the hospital because it was kind of nice and, you know, kick back.
Oh, she was saying, oh, when I get home, I need to do this. And I said, no, you're not. You're just going to sit down and rest, and I'm going to do it all. So she does. She
once
never knows when to
dinner.
Stop. Yeah. Yeah. She never knows when to stop. No, we had a takeout tonight. We had a Chinese tonight.
Well, good to have you back, and yeah, no, we're all very, very happy about the good news. And on the not so good news front, we are attempting to bring Kim Woods onto the podcast. That was the technical challenge that we were incurring earlier. Her video camera didn't want to work for her, and apparently she tried kicking her computer and it shut the whole thing down. So exactly.
Kim
so
doesn't usually suffer from technical problems, though, does she?
No, no. She's usually pretty solid. Yeah. So we're hoping we'll get her back on for the podcast at some point in time. But we didn't want to keep you, our listeners, waiting any longer. For those of you listening live, we do appreciate you tuning in every Saturday at 11 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. And, yeah, If you're not familiar with this podcast, it's a gaming podcast. I say that in quotes because we talk a lot about video games, but we also talk a lot about life. We talk about what's going on in the community, and things that go beyond the walls of video games. So, I don't want to just, pinhole us into a corner here and just, put us in a corner.
No one puts baby in a corner.
We're bigger than that. Nobody puts baby in a corner. Exactly. All right. Well, let's start talking. Let's talk about what's been going on. Fraser, outside of you donning a new, very fluffy beard.
Yeah, it's not that new. I guess you haven't really seen the beard, so it's a little bit new to you.
Yeah. I haven't seen the extra growth.
Yeah. So there. Yep. Yeah. So it's a regular feature now. I'm sort of trimming it back every couple of weeks now, which I guess is what you have to do. It starts getting unruly, but yeah, I'm used to it now.
ZZ Top, by the way, would tell you otherwise.
You want to, if you want any beard tips, contact Hardly Dan because he's all into the beard oil and everything, the grooming.
Yeah.
He's actually offered to shave his off if he raises so much money on Extra Life, hasn't he?
I didn't know that. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. How close is he?
I don't know. I've not looked. I'll tell you how much I've done on Extra Life. I've raised zip. I've not even looked at Extra Life. I've been that busy.
So, you kind of had an excuse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I still feel like I'm letting my team down, right? But
are we having an Extra Life segment, or are we talking about Extra Life?
I think it's on later on, I think.
We will definitely talk about it for sure. Kim now attempting to come into the podcast. Kim Woods, we are live. I think we're going to take you on an audio level because your camera is not going to work for you.
No, I don't. It's gremlins.
Yeah, turn your camera off.
Gremlins are out in force. So just go ahead and do audio. You can turn your camera off. It's all good. But we're glad you actually made it one way or the other. Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Hello, Kim.
Hiya. And you can't see it, but I'm wearing my Halloween costume, so there you go.
Okay.
Naked Catwoman.
Naked Catwoman?
Yeah, there it is. No.
What is the Halloween costume?
It's my Pikachu hat.
Oh, why isn't that camera working?
I know.
Yeah.
Next time. Maybe I'll wear it for Extra Life. There we go.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
I'll do it again.
Kim, anything going on in your neck of the woods outside of camera difficulties?
Let's see. I finally got a step to my front door now, so there's not a 2-foot jump trying to get in or out of my house. Yeah, so there's that.
That's good. That's good.
You know, still watching Tony pretty much 24/7. I'm starting to wonder if I shouldn't ask for adoption papers, but that's another story here and over there. Migraines. Yeah, fun migraines.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody likes a migraine.
Nope.
So.
No.
That's it for me, pretty much. Oh, and snow. We're supposed to get snow.
What?
Snow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bad word, I know. But yeah.
Snow's not a bad word. Snow's a good word.
Not for me, it isn't. But all right, we'll go with it. I like snow, like, around Christmas, and after that, it can go away, you know, so.
I don't blame you. Yeah, the snow thing kind of throws me off a little bit. It's 80 degrees here right now.
Oh, I miss 80 degrees.
I don't blame you. It's been a beautiful day out here.
All right. You can stop now.
Oh, I'll stop. All right. Let's see. What else? What else going on?
I never actually told you what I was doing, what I have been up to.
Sorry, Fraser. You are correct. How rude of me.
That's okay. That's just before we move on and forget about it. I just want to make sure that we have something to fill. But actually, I this is a bit busy week for me here because I have my son, I think, when's Halloween? Tuesday?
Yes.
So Monday is my son's birthday. Tuesday is Halloween. And then Wednesday is my daughter's birthday. So this is a very busy week for us. So, yep. I know what's coming, isn't it? It's coming. Yeah. You do the math. 9 months back. See Greg coming. You see the cogs working in Greg's brain.
You could have timed this one out a little bit better. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's time. Whatever. Okay. I'm sure I've answered this question to you every year around this time as well.
Possibly.
So obviously it's a busy time. Then we have lots going on. That's fine. So last night we had my son's party, which he decided he was going to have a sleepover, so he had some of his friends over. So gaming related, what I did to it's funny because I think my wife won't mind me saying this, but she was sort of a little bit getting overthinking it. Whereas for me, it was to put on a party for a bunch of boys who are all 10 years old, 10 or 11 years old. You have to think like them. And it's very easy for me to think like 10 or 11, like a 10 or 11 year old child, because I still practically am one in many respects. So my masterstroke was to bring down the second large screen television down into the basement with the second Xbox.
That's perfect.
we had them set up for double big screen couch co-op gaming.
I mean, honestly, Fraser, that is, you have the two TVs, you got the double Xboxes. All you need is a couple pizzas in the corner along with a bucket for the kids, and you could lock the door.
You don't know how close you are. So we did that. We set them all down. It was great because I set it up down there, and the first thing we did, I think I set it up the night before, was Stan and I sat down. And we, you know, right next to each other, both had a race on Forza, which was really cool, you know, and I've forgotten – oh, it was just really cool that one to be able to couch co-oping, right? Which we like anyway, but to be couch co-oping with your own screen, big screen, was really cool. So that was pretty neat. And yeah, you predicted exactly how it ran. You know, I made sure, you know, chips were down there, and we brought pizzas in for the boys, and cake, and then sent them back down where they watch a movie, and then they were, you know, left to their own devices. It just takes care of themselves. They all woke up at like 6 o'clock, even though they went to bed late. They all woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, right back on the job, you know, like you know, clocking on like that, like the sheepdogs and all that sort of stuff, right? You know, morning Fred, morning Bill.
I'm just gonna take a stab. They probably continued playing like all the way up until parents were coming to pick them up.
They kept going. One of them had to leave, I think, and even though the plan was to kick them out, you know, 10-ish or whatever, it's a rainy day. All of the kids live around the corner right here. We see them all the time. Many of us say, you know what, you guys want a game, just keep going. I don't care. It doesn't really matter anyway. By about 12 o'clock, I lost it. That was it, right? Come on.
12 o'clock, right. Chris comes out. No.
Go.
Everybody out.
Go.
Out.
Right. Yeah. Done.
I've called the police. They're coming.
Yeah. So it's cool, but it's really cool. It was just like nice to see them, you know, simple, right? Simple boys. You know what they like. They like their gaming. They love their gaming, you know, and I'll tell you what they were playing actually, which was interesting. They were playing some sort of standard stuff. Minecraft was one of the big games they were playing. Mm-hmm. Play some Terraria. But I came down this morning and they were four of them all playing. They'd turned one of the TVs off and just using one of them. Four of them all playing Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. So anyone who's played that before, have you played it?
I know the mechanics of
it. No, but
I've
seen
it.
A lot of us have played it, but you have to either play maybe with two people if you're lucky, you know, or you play on your own. But to have four people actually in the room, they had four guys running around this spaceship and all working together, and they were having a right hoot. So it was, that was really cool to see. So
that's. Quite honestly, the perfect game for, you know, four guys sitting on a couch. Outside of the Lovers in the Dangerous part, that, you know, that name. Yeah. Some boys might be turned off to that.
Bros in a spaceship.
You know, the kids who hadn't seen it before thought it was great and were asking, what is this? What is this game? It's fantastic. But it was really – it's just fascinating to see these kids who you sometimes, you know, you think – you know, you're screaming at the kids, wondering, you know, why can't you do this homework? Or, you know, what is it with you and your inability to tidy a room, you know? And then suddenly to catch these kids and they were just working together and they were, you know, you do this and I'll be on this and let's, you know, maybe we should approach this from a different angle. And it just showed some really cool workings, right? So that was neat. Hello, Kim. We can see Kim
Pikachu!
Now.
Pikachu!
I got it to work.
Yay! I got radio the cameras.
Very nice.
Sorry.
It's okay.
That's all good. Fraser, now I'm going to take another quick guess that the birthday party for your daughter is going to be a little more complicated.
Okay, well, yeah.
Your games and pizza.
We're not too sure about that one, but the thing that happened last night was, and my wife, of course, is listening, as she normally does, so she'll probably laugh at this. My wife suddenly revealed on, I think it was Tuesday, or what is that she had suddenly remembered that she had a night to go out on Friday night, right? So she had a night at the theater and drinks with the girls. So I took control of last night and had it all in hand, and it was fine. It was easy going, right? No problem.
Right.
I got no problems with keeping everyone in line. It was fine. But that's given me that little bit of a check in hand, right?
For sure, the sure. Party. By the way, so, Fraser, I don't know if you know this yet, but you have this unscheduled work trip that's happening on Tuesday through Wednesday.
Is that the one in Vegas?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Word just came down.
Well, I think my daughter is having a sleepover as well next weekend, so yeah, I'll have to figure that one out. But I believe I might be curling that night.
Okay. Yeah. Championship. Game, right?
Yeah,
you have to be there. Can't get out of it.
Yep. That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So
excellent.
It's all good.
Nice. And how old, by the way, are your kids turning?
They're turning 11 and 9, unbelievably.
11 and 9. Wow.
Yes, it's insane.
Scary stuff.
Quick.
It is. Okay. Mark,
yes.
Anything you want to talk about outside of...
No, it's just this week's gone so quick. I've blinked and it's gone. It's just been a case of traveling to the hospital, visiting Jenny, and traveling back again, trying to get a bit of housework done, a bit of food, then falling asleep. I've binge watched two complete seasons of two different programs in the past couple of weeks.
Okay.
I've watched a full season of Iron Fist. And then, because I've seen the others. Oh, well, I finished off Luke Cage, but then I've watched Iron Fist, and then I've watched a full season of Defenders, so I'm all caught up on them.
Okay.
Oh, and I also watched a full season of American Gods, which is a bit weird, but I enjoyed it.
American Gods?
American Gods, yeah. Ian McShane's in it.
Nice.
Ricky Whittle. Yeah, have you seen that, Kim?
No, I've seen advertisements.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime TV. Yeah, it's interesting. It's good. It's quite gory and bloodthirsty, but it's got some good action in it. And just for Gary Lever, I've watched this week's Star Trek Discovery, and it was awesome again. So, Gary Lever,
I'm boycotting Star Trek Discovery because they, in the US, they put it on a paid
service. Yeah, I know. Gary's,
paid service.
Gary's fuming. Yeah, but it's really good. Yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, CBS. You do not have enough content for me to want to pay for your crap.
Right.
I can for a small fee, Gary and Greg, I can actually use my computer and connect up to my TV, and I can actually send you copies of it. I can record it, not legally, but whatever.
That small fee though. That brings me back into this. I'm sorry, CBS. Your content is not worth spending money on. So yeah. Halloween is just around the corner. My house is, we're actually a little tame this year compared to previous years. We've gone for an easier theme to pull off. So we've turned the front of the house into a little bit of like a swamp theme, which is not hard to pull off. and we're going to be going with a predator theme. So I have a giant stuffed mannequin predator that I'm going to be putting up into one of our trees. And then I've got a little soundtrack I've created that I mixed some sounds of the Dagobah Swamp System, by the way, which was a perfect soundtrack to play for night. And then I ripped some of the sounds of the predator, the little clicking and then his roar. And so I've got that intermixed into that whole thing, and it plays for like an hour and a half, and then we'll cycle back through.
Nice. You know what, Greg? Yeah. I don't know how open you are to sharing that, but this is the first year that I've decided. So sorry, I'm going to interject, but we can do the Halloween thing here.
Yes.
Is that I'm going to be putting a speaker out in the front of our, for the first time ever, I'm going to put a speaker out in the front porch. And I've got to look for something to pipe out there, right? So if
I've got a few different things you,
I
I've
can got some music
away.
For you. If you want. Some, Omen.
And then the other thing I did was I went and bought a lamp last week from the charity store, $2.99, like a lamp or whatever, just a standard lamp. And I wired in a resistor, which is, you know, just I don't know. I might have talked about this on Game Punchers, but I wired in a specific resistor that you get from a ballast from fluorescent lamps. and it flickers the light on and off. It was really easy to do. So I've slowly every year, which you've probably done, is just chipping away at adding little bits and pieces here. So I should have the flashing light and the eerie music is what I'm going for to add this year.
There's a really cool image I've seen on, I don't know if it's Facebook or Twitter, but it's someone's front lawn, obviously in the US, and it's got like half a crashed spaceship into his lawn. A dead alien like laid out, and there's all this yellow police do not cross tape everywhere. It looks really cool.
Nice.
Very nice. Mm. I don't want to completely burst your bubble on the lamp and flashing, or, you know, flashing light. Cause that's, I applaud you on your DIY solution. But you can buy those light bulbs.
Oh, I know. I know. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cam. But this was I enjoy the DIYing part of it.
Yes.
Like that part of it was enjoyable to me. Yeah. So
you've become quite the little do-it-yourselfer. Let me just say, lots of little projects happening.
I don't know. I've always liked to do it myself.
Not going to touch that. all right. So Halloween is happening. We actually have a costume party we're going to be going to tonight. So. Last weekend, we went out wine tasting and decided that the group of us, there was eight of us, I think, we all went in costumes. And so my wife, Cindy, and I, we were going for kind of a spies attending like a masquerade ball. So we were dressed up in really nice clothes, you know, a suit, and she was in a very fancy dress. And then we both had kind of the masquerade ball masks on. I had kind of a half Phantom of the Opera mask, and she had a I would almost call it like a Mardi Gras kind of mask. And I think we successfully pulled that off because we had some like, you know, guns tucked in, like, you know, shoulder holsters, that kind of thing. And she had a little, you know, like a derringer in a little garter belt. But the reality was I think we looked more like everybody thought we were gangsters from like the 20s as opposed to spies in the current time. So either way, it worked.
Yeah, you did have that Bugsy Malone type look. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw the pictures. That's right. I sent the pictures over to the team. So so we're gonna redo that costume for tonight for the fun adult party, and then Halloween. Yeah, Halloween is gonna hit off, and we're all dressed as like soldiers from Predator. So I'm gonna be Jesse Ventura. My wife Cindy's going to be playing the role, and I forgot what the gal's name. I don't think she ever actually had a name in the movie, but
she did last long enough to have a name.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then my son is playing the role of Arnold Schwarzenegger. We got him a little muscle suit.
Nice.
So he has that underneath his T-shirt, and so it looks pretty funny.
Cool.
So yeah, and then we have him in his little Jeep, and it's all decked out, so it works. But all right, so yeah,
good deal.
Cool. Yeah, I saw the pictures of you and Cindy. It looked cool.
Yeah, we had fun. It was fun. And, I mean, we're wine tasting, so it's kind of by default going to be fun. all right. We never even did our Storytime jingle. I'm sorry, Mark. We've we've screwed the entire podcast up because I'm not paying attention. So at
way
this
to
point,
go.
Mark, we should real quickly give our update on Extra Life.
Yep.
So – Extra Life is now just a week away.
Yeah.
It's next Saturday. We won't have a podcast proper. So everybody listening to this, if you do want to catch the Overseas Connection podcast next week, we are going to make best efforts. And I'm not going to promise it yet because things happen. But we're going to try and put together a podcast, I believe the Thursday before. I think that's the timing that's lining up. So – we're going to try and put together a podcast that Thursday, the 2nd, and it'll likely be, you know, live when we do it, but audio for sure, and we'll get that off, so something for you guys to listen to over the weekend. But really, more importantly, please join us as we're all gaming. It's the VGHub.net team. All of us are going to be on gaming for 24 hours. If you see us on and we have a party going, jump into it. For the love of God, whatever you do, don't tell us that we need to work teamwork better.
oh man!
but jump in, spend some time with us. You know, we very much appreciate that kind of support. And for sure, if you have a few extra dollars laying around, you know, and you see somebody that's on and you feel like donating, please do. We're not at our goal yet, but we're coming close.
Not far off.
Yeah, so we have a goal of $5,000 for the team, and currently we're sitting at $3,617.41. How we have 41 cents, I don't know. yeah, so we're very close.
We've got quite a large team this year as well, haven't we? We've got a big team. We've got a few new people in there. Antonio's in there. Phil Olson. Phil Olson is doing well. He's on $500. Wow.
Why, in fact, Mark, since you're looking at it, why don't you read through the whole team roster.
Yeah. So we've got Greg DeLessi, Gary DeFelice, who's our team captain again, Phil Olson, Robin Tate, Antonio Phillips, Bennett Sechrist, Wolowitz family, Kim Woods, Luis Raimondo, Gary Lever, Mark Wright, Nick Old, Daniel Natman, and Nicole Radowski.
Yeah.
I am so glad to see I'm not the only one who's not raised anything. but yeah, I'm going to do the 24-hour live stream again like I did last year. I really enjoyed that. It helps bring a few extra donations in, so
I have to set mine up. I've got some more layers ready. My Xbox.
Yeah.
But I understand there's a way that you can set up having like an alternate account, and so you can use your PC to capture.
Yeah,
I gotta figure that out.
Yeah, Dan's put in the Extra Life group, hasn't he? You can stream and then use a PC to capture your stream and then OBS that to restream it again. Very clever, very complicated by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna try.
It's probably gonna work.
Yeah.
Because you get some good overlays from Extra Life. You can get the counter, which counts up your donations and how long you've been going for. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, that's what I want is some kind of overlay like that, because I think that also provides a little bit of explanation as to what we're doing and makes it easy for somebody that does want to donate. They come across the stream, they decide they want to kick in a couple bucks here or there, whatever. So Extra Life. It is a great, great cause, and we are all super excited for it right now. Come 5 o'clock in the morning Sunday.
Do you are you able to disclose like primary games that you guys are streaming or what your plans are?
I think I'll be playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Origins. A lot of that, I think. I think we're going to be doing some Forza 7, some PUBG. Gary DeFelice wants to do some PUBG.
Whoa, PUBG.
Destiny 2, probably. I don't know. It's nothing set in stone yet for me.
Gears, Gems of War.
I still haven't hit 50.
I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to play, so.
Yeah, I'm undecided yet, but a lot of the games that Mark just rattled off, I definitely will be playing. One thing I do know, especially once we get past midnight, it'll likely be all multiplayer stuff. Mm. Single player games at that point in time are kind of a kiss of death. When you start getting tired, that's not what you want to be playing. So, yeah, I likely will be doing the multiplayer stuff. I can see reaching level 50 this time, damn it. In horde mode. That's the last time I played it, by the way.
Oh, is that joking. Extra Life when we did that? That's cool. We nearly did it.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember, Fraser, you, at the very end of it, I think we were wave 47, 48, somewhere in there, and you just are like, that's it. I'm done. Yeah. I am done. I'm done.
I think it must have been about 3 a.m. or something.
Oh, God, yeah. It was ungodly late. And
I don't know.
You were just there supporting us.
Yeah, I've said it before, and I don't know how you guys do it. It's not something I – maybe at some point I'll do it. But I feel I put my time in coming to support you anyway, and that's – and I implore anyone out there who's listening, get on the friends list, find the account details, become friends with anyone, including myself, because I'm going to be around at night on the Saturday night. It doesn't matter how late I'll stay up. Any PUBG's going, man, I'm up for some PUBG, no doubt. But also other stuff on the Xboxes as well. And it's good to know ahead of time what you guys are thinking about playing, because I might pick up something like Destiny 2 just in case. So
I do know for sure I have a play date with Mr. Gary DeFelice. We're going to be playing our Madden rematches this year. We did it last year. We're going to play it again this year. And I'm sure he's trying to get some kind of redemption for the horrific showing his Denver Broncos had a weekend ago. Just saying. Right.
Mine.
Yep. 21-0. Mm-hmm.
Suck it, Gary.
All right. So yeah, that's it. Extra Life. That's the next big thing. Okay. Let's talk about video games. Mark, you've got a jingle.
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
That always throws me off. All right, Kim, I know you've been playing the babysitting game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not much to say about that. Real quickly, though, where did you get the Pikachu hat?
A loot crate.
All right, loot crate. That's a nice loot crate find. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Did you wear that out in public or just in
house? No, but Anthony tries to steal it from me every chance he gets, so I have to hide it. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Speaking of hats like that and speaking of kids stealing it, Steve Conger got the new Mario hat with the eyeballs on it. With it. There's a name for the character.
Yeah. Mario.
But he had the hat on. He had the hat on and he's taking a picture with his son right behind him in the car. And he's like, he so wants this hat right now. But the picture, his son is sitting like over his shoulder and he just looks like he has this diabolical like look on his face. Like he is scheming how he's going to steal that hat. So yeah, hang on to your hat, Kim. Hang on to your hat. All right. Fraser, I'm going to go down this list from kind of least to most. That's kind of my plan here. Now, I know you've played a ton of PUBG.
I haven't played a ton of PUBG, actually. That's probably the funny thing. So I've played is PUBG. So okay. I put my hands up and like everyone, I'm probably getting used to it now. I'm the new Kim Woods. I do nothing but play one game, right? So no offense, Kim, even though she's here. I got shafted. Not totally shafted, but quite shafted this week by a game called Destiny 2 arriving on PC, which dragged a few of the old regulars away. And Mark knows because he's on the chat forum.
All you could hear was Fraser in the group going,
"You suck."
So we lost a few of the guys to Destiny 2, but not completely. PUBG still showed its true colors. A lot of the guys came back and snuck in some more games. So we did play a bit this week. So it was all good.
Speaking of Destiny 2, I've heard it looks phenomenal on PC.
Everyone's saying how good it is. So yeah, it sounds great. So, but I don't know. What else do you want me to say? Baby. PUBG for life, yep. They any news on PUBG is they just sort of have implemented a change on the circle, a slight tweak on the game on the gameplay, so the circles hit harder.
I was going to say, I thought they tweaked the damage inside the blue area.
Yeah,
the blue is basically outside the circle. Yeah,
so that's being outside the blue zone. Being outside the circle. So mid to late game now, it really hits you harder and makes sure that you are getting in there quicker. Okay. And then they're talking about implementing. Sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm going to steal your thunder. I was just going to say they're implementing the vaulting in the test servers next week. Apparently.
So they're going to.
Excellent.
So we have two. I have two copies of PUBG on my hard drive. So I have the normal game, and then the test server. And they quite cleverly will roll out things to the test server first, just to see how it works with people. And you can go in and play it.
Have you seen the animations for the vaulting and climbing on YouTube? The animations look really cool. Yeah,
It looks good, and that is literally a game changer.
Yeah,
big time. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So,
all right, cool.
That's your PUBG spot.
That's the PUBG spot for the day. Thank you, Fraser Moore.
The G spot. The PUBG spot.
Yeah, there you go, Mark.
Yes. My nephews.
Let's talk about Resident Evil 7 first.
My nephews have been up this past week because it's been the school holidays in the UK. Mm-hmm. So they usually come up sort of like May, and they come up August and Octoberish, and sometimes Christmas. So it's great having them up again. And he brought his copy of Resident Evil 7 up because I asked him to. Because I've been wanting to play this for quite a while now, and.
Get your diapers on.
I've played sort of like the first couple of hours on it, and it's really good. It's got quite a few jump scares in it. And what I didn't expect, because I've not played a Resident Evil for years, it's got quite a lot of puzzle elements to it. There's a lot of puzzle solving. and sort of like working stuff out. So it's quite cool. But the premise
is kind of going back to its roots in some respects, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not unusual for the Resident Evils. I think what Seven does is you start playing Seven and you forget. And because it's such a different first-person game,
yeah,
and far more realistic in a way than any of the other ones have been,
yeah,
you forget until you get into it a little bit more that then it starts to show its Resident Evil colors to you,
yeah,
like collecting health sprays and things like that, and
yeah, the herbs and stuff, yeah. There's quite a cool mechanic where to open some of the doors, there's like a light projecting onto a wall, and you have to find a certain object to put it on this plinth and manipulate it to get the shadow right to match to unlock the door. That's quite a cool little puzzle element. So, but yeah, graphically it looks amazing. It looks absolutely gorgeous. I'm playing this on the Xbox One. The story behind it is you've got, I can't remember if it's your relative or your girlfriend called Mia. She's been missing for 3 years and you out of the blue, you get a message, and you want to go find her. So you go to this abandoned old house and when you start looking for her. And some of the way you play is you find videotapes and you actually play the videotapes. You actually play the character in the videotapes. So it's quite unique and quite cool that way. And then because you've played through the videotape, you'll see in the videotape that there's like a secret compartment somewhere where you can open and get to another access to another part of the house. So when you come out of that videotape section and you're back as your main dude looking for Mia, you can go to this place and then find the secret button and then go into this other area. So mm-hmm. some of the sort of like, I'll call them baddies, the bad guys, the enemies, they're really freaky.
Family.
Yeah, jeez, man. And I've had quite a few jump scares, but my nephews were just, they just loved just sitting there watching me and watching my reactions and me jumping like a girl. I didn't obviously finish it because it's been hectic this week. So they've left it with me. They've let me borrow it, which is cool of them. And I'll just post it back to them when I've done. And they want me to stream it so they can see. But I don't know if I'm going to do that because I'm a bit of a girl's blouse when it comes to horror games. But yeah, really enjoying it so far. I'm not that far in. I've done the first videotape. And then I've got to another part of the house and I've met the family. Jeez, what a fuck's up mess they are. So yeah, I've met the mum and dad and the son, I think, and the old grandma. And there's these creature things, what, made of like globby, gooey things. They're weird. I've just come across them now. And I've run out of ammo and I'm using my little flick knife to try to kill them and I got killed and that's where I've got to. My nephew was just pissing himself laughing because I'm stood there with this little penknife going, trying to just stab this thing in the head. one of the animations is he slashed, but if you press the aim trigger and an attack with a penknife, he's like, stabbing. He's really good.
I'm guessing that is not an effective weapon.
No, but they would just piss themselves laughing at me. So yeah, I need to find some better gear somehow, I think. I don't know how, but I'm gonna definitely keep playing through that. It's really good. The other game is a new game, what's just come out. And I believe you've been playing this, Greg, and that is Assassin's Creed Origins. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I've played all of them except for Rogue. Because Rogue is it was one of the old releases on 360 when the next gen had come out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, talking.
What?
So I've played all the sort of like main games on Assassin's Creed, and this one, it takes it further. It's more RPG-y. It's got a lot of RPG elements to it. You're leveling up now.
So this game took an extra year off.
Yeah. So. It's been a 2 year gap for the first time and it shows,
right.
I'm glad we've done this. I'm 5 hours in already. And okay. I've got to level 5 and I've done a few side missions, a couple of main story missions, and I'm absolutely loving it. It's brilliant. Graphically, it's superb. It reminds me a lot of the first game with the sort of like, because it's set so early on, I think it's 400 BC.
Right.
So in Egypt, so you've got obviously pyramids and buildings, but a lot of the buildings aren't that tall compared to some Assassin's Creeds. So there's not as much verticality, and there's a lot more sparse land because it hasn't been built on. So when you compare it to like Syndicate, where you're in industrial Victorian London, it's a massive contrast. Right. But yeah, it reminds me a lot of the original Assassin's Creed, where you've got the old settlements there.
Well, and I think the other big change, at least from my, you know, and I've only played through the tutorial. I got through the tutorial and I decided I'm stopping. I'm going to wait and actually play this on my X.
Yeah. Well, I'm carrying on.
Let me clarify. My Xbox One X, not my actual X.
When's that coming?
Seventh.
Yeah.
The 7th of November. Yeah. I'm kind of bummed they didn't get it off in time for Extra Life. That would have been fun to stream for Extra Life. But, oh well.
Yeah, I've had to sadly cancel my pre-order because just can't afford it, basically. But it's not an essential purchase because my Xbox One will play all the games anyway. And I'll get one eventually, probably maybe Christmas or maybe for my birthday in May next year. I'll get one eventually, but... Yeah, I'm a bit upset I'm not getting one soon, but it's probably going to be for the better because the launch consoles, they always sort of like improve after a few months anyway, don't they? So,
yours is going to be crap, Greg.
That's what I'm hearing right
Mark's
now.
Mark's making himself feel better because he's not getting one.
That's what I'm trying to justify it to myself. So
I mean, on the upside, Mark, you do have a PC.
So yeah.
There is that.
Absolutely. So Assassin's Creed Origins.
What combat. Do you want to discuss? Let's talk about
combat. Right.
It feels different.
Yeah, and the first sort of like part of it, you're in like an arena with a one-on-one combat in the tutorial, and it gave me a big Dark Souls vibe to it as well.
Yes,
with the dodge and roll and the blocking.
Yeah, I mean, Assassin's Creed traditionally has been much more. For those of you familiar with the Batman Origins games, the Batman games, the Dark Knight games. It's very parry heavy.
Parry,
you're waiting for the enemy to attack.
Yep.
You make a button push and then you do your combos. This felt much more, Dark Souls is a very good example of it. It was block and attack. You have a shield, you sword and shield were kind of the primary choices, out of the tutorial. I don't know if it changes, but this is a big departure from Assassin's Creed.
Further on in the story, you get a bow. You get it quite early on. You get a bow. So I've got a bow now. And then one of the tutorial side missions is to go hunting. So you can upgrade your armor. So you have to get like leather to upgrade your chest brace. So you go get
some deer. But here's my thing.
That's very Far Cry-ish. It's taking bits from different games.
Yeah. But what I haven't seen, and again, I only played through that part of the tutorial, so I don't know. Maybe it is completely there. But the assassination aspect of it, the hidden blade,
I've got a theory behind that because at the moment you are not an assassin, spoilers, you're a Medjai and protects a village, and the Medjai are sort of like there to protect the Pharaoh, so the Brotherhood hasn't been formed yet, there isn't such a thing as the assassins yet, so I think that's why you haven't got them. I'm sure they'll come eventually. Like, say I'm 5 hours in and I'm still being called the Medjai. I'm not being classed as an assassin. I haven't got the logo yet or anything. Not seen the logo anywhere yet. The new logo, you've got your assassin sort of like A-shape. And in the middle of that, you've got like an Egyptian symbol. Well, that Egyptian symbol is on your arm. That's the Medjai symbol for protecting the pharaohs.
And so far, and I don't know if it's in the game or not, and maybe we don't say anything, but I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any future stuff.
No, I've not seen it yet, but I have come across where I've got to the edge of the first area you're in, and it will not let you go past into another area. There's a big, electronic wall, and it says you can't go into that area. And when you die, which I've died a couple of times, I'm playing on normal, it says desynchronized, and then when you respawn, it sort of like builds up like the Animus thing. So there is some aspects to it still being an Animus thing, but there's nothing in the future yet. One thing I'm missing from the previous Assassin's Creed, which is more muscle memories, you always used to press left trigger to run.
Right.
And then pressing left trigger brought up different actions on your face buttons.
Right.
That doesn't do that anymore. Left trigger brings up your bow to aim. Right trigger fires your bow. If you haven't got your bow up, your right bumper is your light attack and right trigger is your heavy attack with your sword or your melee.
Right.
And then your left bumper's to block. So the buttons are completely different, the controller configuration. And he runs automatically. He runs all the time. To go any slower, the only way I've figured out so far is to press B in your crouch, and that's when you move slower and you can do your stealthy stuff there. You can still do takedowns without your hidden blade. You can take them down in one go, even on higher level enemies, I found. Mm-hmm. I was level 2 and I had to do a mission to rescue someone. I could have gone round them, but there was a level 4 guy, and I thought, I'll give it a go. And I sneaked up behind him, got the prompt for takedown, which you press Y, and it took him down in one go. So I was worried that it wouldn't do it with him being a higher level than me, but yeah, it did. The weapons are now classed like your general RPG MMO type things. You've right. got common items, which are green. You've got rare, which are blue. Legendary's purple, and then Legendary's gold. The purple's can't remember what they call them now.
No, either way, they're class.
You got purple system, and gold, right. So you've got different aspects, and the better ones, like the purple ones, they've got added bonuses to them. So I've got I think this was one of the Ubisoft Club things what I actually cashed in on with the Ubisoft points. I've got a sword now, which when I hit them, it gives them poison damage as well. So it gets a poison dust cloud around the enemy for a while, giving extra more damage. So that's quite cool.
And I do believe there are loot boxes in this game. That's my understanding. Could be wrong, but...
I've not come across any yet.
I haven't come across a way to spend money outside of the season pass.
No.
They do have a season pass for this game.
Yeah. I've been collecting quite a bit of gold, and I've come across a vendor, and there's a blacksmith as well, which you unlock. So you can buy gear. I bought a better shield and stuff.
It's using in-game outfits. Currency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You can, it has got, if you go in the store in the menu, it has got the Helix credits from the previous ones, which you buy with real money.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I never have done on Assassin's Creed.
We're taking a full star off of our review score, which will be posted sometime in 2050.
The mounts are back into it. You start off with a camel, I've unlocked a horse now. I've got a horse.
There was a legendary horse, I want to say, from Ubisoft as well.
Yeah. They've taken a hint out of The Witcher, whereas if you're on a road, you can hold A and you get your circle complete.
Thank you.
And he follows a road. You don't have to do anything. It'll just follow the road to your waypoint. You can press another button to your waypoint, which is a cool feature. So, yeah, like I say, it's borrowed a lot of elements from different games, like Far Cry, where you're crafting and upgrading your quiver, your pouches, your armor. And then, like I said, with the horse with The Witcher. So, yeah, it's really cool so far. I want to do everything in this game. I don't want this to end quick. I want to completely nail this. So I have got the option in the story now to go to the next area, but I'm not doing that. I'm doing every side mission, every collectible I can in the start off area. So I'm going to really take my time with this game.
All right. Well, I have been equally as impressed visually and sound-wise. They knocked it out of the park. This game is fantastic looking and a joy to listen to. And the gameplay so far, it seems really good. Again, I can't definitively say that. I've only played, past the tutorial. But so far, so good.
The first couple of hours, story-wise, it's quite brutal and it's quite shocking. And it tugs on your heartstrings. It's got a really good story so far. But, yeah, I think we've done a really good job.
All right. Excellent. Anything else you want to talk about, Mark, before we move on?
No, a little bit of Forza 7. I did a bit of split screen with my nephews. That was really confusing because graphically the split screen was amazing, but you only got the sound of one of the vehicles. And it was always my nephew's. Yeah, it was weird. I didn't know if you could plug different headsets into the controllers and you get your own vehicle sound, but yeah, the sound of a vehicle was always his car. So on my car, because I was running manual, it was really difficult to figure out when to change gear. I had to revert back to automatic. But yeah, apart from that,
I can see that screwing you up. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm hoping that's going to be, and it crashed on me twice again. Yeah. It crashed on me before as well when I was playing with Parsnip on the playdate a few weeks ago. It just goes, it's like freezes and does that horrible drrrr, and then goes back to the dashboard. So it's done that a few times on now, so I'm hoping they're going to patch that.
Okay.
But well, yeah, I've seen you've been playing.
You could do what
that.
Robin Tate did and just delete the whole game.
Yeah, at least it will take a week to reinstall.
Take 2 weeks. Well, I think it was like 2 weeks for him to download that thing.
Yeah, poor guy. So yeah, how are you enjoying it so far, Greg?
You know what? I've really been enjoying Forza 7. I've been playing a lot of it.
So best Forza 7, best Forza game for me so far, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's tough. I go back and forth between Horizon 3 and this, and you know, it's easy.
I don't class the Horizon games as. Yeah, I class them as separate. Me, Forza 4 was the best until this one for me.
Yeah, I liked Forza 6 a lot, and so I think where this one takes it a step further is just the weather implementation, the dynamic weather. There are some amazing moments in the races I've been having where, you know, I've started races out and for whatever reason, maybe just kind of forgot or wasn't thinking about the weather too much. And then as I'm rounding a corner, I see a couple raindrops hitting my windshield. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. I'm actually really enjoying the new menu system and the new UI of everything and the customizability of your driver now and everything. So, yeah.
I do like the fact that you have, you know, it's collecting stuff, right? We all like to collect stuff. So I think that was a smart play. People will enjoy that aspect of it. I do wish they would bring in a rally, a proper, just a rally racetrack. Not, you know, they've got rally cars in it. They've got, you know, a lot of trucks in this game. So,
but if you want to do some rallying, I did buy Dirt Rally. Well,
yes,
I think we both went on that, didn't we?
Yeah,
it was on sale. So I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I just say this game just kind of screams to me. It's a perfect game to do some rally.
Yeah.
So
I still love a truck racing. A lot of people don't like it, but I love it.
Yeah. I don't know how you get on with that. I did like not the ATVs. What were they called? The little razor four wheel vehicles.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not
like, kind of like a cart. They're like a cart, but anyway, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, them Polaris things. Design. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, Forza 7, enjoying that. A lot of XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. Really enjoying the additions they've made to that. The game, it was already deep before.
Yeah.
It has made it like tenfold deep because now not only are you managing your squads, but you can also start managing the relationships within your squad and have players bonding to one another. And it will give them some perks when they're on the battlefield together. And then, of course, different enemy types and new player types that they've introduced. So
you get your money out of the XCOM games, don't you, Greg?
I definitely do. I definitely do. Yeah, this is like Kim with The Witcher 3. This is the game I will keep coming back to.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. And they added in kind of a challenge mode. So they do kind of what Hitman was doing, where they had weekly challenges they would put out to the community to see how you could do. They have that in XCOM 2 now. So from the multiplayer standpoint, it's not just, you know, trying to find somebody else that has the game and playing them one-on-one. Now you can do these challenges on a weekly basis just to have something random thrown at you. So yeah, so that's that. The last game I want to talk about, and it will be very brief, is Gone Home. It was a free Xbox Live Gold game, I believe, for last month.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, you know what? This game got a lot of hype, a lot of people saying its praises. I was bored to shit playing this game.
Right?
Oh, dear God.
I've not tried
it yet. People say walking simulator. I say boredom simulator. I guess you know, part of the charm of this game is trying to figure out what has happened to the family as you're going through, because you're coming home. You play this character, I believe, Kristen. I could be getting the name wrong. But anyway, you come home to your house and everybody's gone and there's some little clues as to what's been going on. And so that's the hook, is to try and find out what happened. But I'm kind of like, I don't care. I'm not invested in this at all. I really don't fucking care what happened to this family. I want to do something more than picking up objects and reading them and looking at them. The mechanics in the game are just, you know, basically walk and pick up items and look at them, or activate like a, you know, an answering machine. You can, you know, activate the answering machine, or as I discovered, you can flush the toilets and they make very realistic sounds.
Have you ever been there, for Fraser?
Yeah. I have not been able to get on with it. You know, I will give
it another
go. Yeah,
there's a reason for that. No, you know what, Greg? Don't bother.
You like
don't bother me. Gone Home was just the most disappointing, boring, rubbishy game I've ever played. And it stands out even more so because I heard some other podcasters, I'm not naming any names, Duke Scath, who thought it was the best thing since sliced bread. But, oh, God, it just promised so much. And then when you go to play it, it's just like, I mean, if you take it for what it is, I guess they made it well.
Right.
It's made well. There's no doubt about it. But it's so boring. It's so boring. Oh, God, and really doesn't offer anything except for some turnaround finish at the edgy end to the story, which
Yep. All right.
Awful. Well,
yeah. So I'm with you, Fraser. I was playing it and I'm like, okay, I put it down after the first night, and I tried it again last night, and I was just like,
the thing is, it stands there and it sits in this little niche which popped up over the last 5 to 10 years, which was this challenging of game genres and how can we make something a little bit different and mix up the way that games, what is a game? Maybe we should get, I think, what is a game?
Right.
Not this boring shit.
No, you know what? Go ahead.
I'm just going to say that I don't want to go down the path of saying it's a piece of crap. It's like I said, for what it is, and some people like it or whatever, great, go ahead and like it. I found it extremely boring and unrewarding. So there you go. But what do I know?
I thought you liked this one. Which one is it you like, Fez? Is it the moon one or something? You liked To the Moon. Is that the one you liked? I know you liked one. No.
I might be getting that mixed up. To the Moon, well, that was the one with some dying grandfather. Everyone cried at the end or whatever. I don't know, right? I never played that one either. I got bored of that within 5 seconds. I'm not saying these games are bad. And if they suit you, great. You know what? Go play Candy Crush. You know, what am I going to argue with someone? What am I going to argue with someone who's put like 2,000 hours into Candy Crush.
My mum's level 1,400 and summit on Candy Crush. She plays it daily. Yeah.
Right. That's does crazy. That make it a bad game?
Not no, for her,
obviously,
no.
Obviously not. Do I think it's awful? Yes, of course I do. Right. You know, because I'm a snob, right? So there we go.
No, I don't think you're a snob, Fraser. I think, you know, as I look at this game and you look at what they do in this game, and it's funny how you were kind of bringing it up of, you know, they're looking at what makes a game. What makes a game? In my head, I think this development team sat down and they said, okay, what are we good at? We make good environments. Okay, we've got somebody on our team that can tell a pretty good backstory. And we've got a decent audio engineer.
So how do you actually tell the story in this game, then? Is it by collecting audio logs or anything?
Yeah,
or?
It's through the audio logs and the letters.
Yeah, there's audio logs, there's notes, there's different things you find that will be little clues. You know, like everybody in this house writes letters to people. And I mean, when's the last time you wrote a letter? Anyway, but so it's like they narrowed down these three things they did well. And then they're like, okay, well, do we have anybody here make a good combat mechanic? Nope. Sorry, can't. Nope. How about animations? Nope, we're shit at animations, so we won't have any real animations in this game. It's half a game.
It's not for us.
It's definitely not for us.
It's not for you. Us.
It is not.
Rubbish username in the chat said agreed. You need to at least shoot one person in the face for it to be a game.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, a little stabby stab. Give me the stupid poker knife. I'd kill for something.
He's also put his. There's loads and loads of objects you can pick up, and he thought there'd be an achievement for looking at 1,000 objects. And after he picked 1,000 objects, there wasn't. So yeah. just for you, rubbish username, this is your very own achievement.
I think I felt hoodwinked on Gone Home because. Yeah. I'd heard everyone saying, it's fantastic, right. it's wonderful. And then I did exactly what you did, Greg. I started playing it. And then probably like after about an hour, you're like, when does this get going? When does the game actually start?
My fucking head hit my controller. I was like,
and it never does. And you're just
doesn't.
Oh my God. I felt like I'd just been hoodwinked.
Well, and I think that's, you know, and maybe this, again, goes back to what you're talking about, Fraser. What makes a game? And maybe because this game was – at the time, pretty unique to a lot of other games out there, or maybe it harkened back to the old adventure games from way back when, where you know it was just a lot of exploration and looking at things, and there really wasn't combat to it. Think back to the old text adventures like Zork.
But even those you had to figure something out.
Yeah,
I don't know what you
think. There doesn't seem to be any puzzles to this so far. So yeah, it's boring. It's going through somebody's house, trying to find out what happened to the family and not really caring. And I think that's the biggest thing is I just don't care about my character. I've got no connection. So I'm like, do I really care? No, I don't. So yeah, Gone Home.
Get bent.
There you go. All right. Let's move on. Let's get past this. Mark,
yes,
we've got news stuff and we've got a list,
right? Yeah. Well, I thought in honor of Robin doing his list last week, I thought I'd keep the tradition alive. And with it being Halloween, I've had a bit of a search on the old Googles tonight, and I've looked for the top 10 scariest video games. Now, there's a lot of variations on these lists, so I thought I'd pick one from a place what most people would recognise, which is the Telegraph from the UK, the mainstream tabloid.
Because I don't recognise.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, there were a lot of sites where they had lists and never even heard of them. So,
is the Telegraph, reclassing the Telegraph as a tabloid now?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's a media source.
The Sun, isn't that a tabloid out there?
Yeah. I don't know what Telegraph. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's a newspaper.
All right. Well, let's get past that. Let's get to the list. So, everybody loves a good list.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone loves a good list. So, at number 10, I'm just trying to get some music going in the background.
A little mood music?
Yeah. That's a bit loud, though. at number 10, Resident Evil. I played this on the original PlayStation 1, and the infamous dogs jumping through the window scene does shit you up somewhat. I did find the rest of it scary, though.
You know,
unless it's a remake.
The original, when I played the original, I thought it was scarier than shit.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that was it was one of the first games that, you know, at the time, it was pushing the boundaries of graphics.
Yeah, there was a lot of tension in the game. Yeah, tension of waiting for the loading screens.
But that was also kind of an era where you still use your imagination to kind of fill in some of the gaps a little bit.
Yeah.
So the zombies in Resident Evil didn't look fantastic, but I pictured them just in vivid color and detail.
Yeah.
And now that gets taken away from you because now games are so graphically intense that you don't have to use your imagination at all with enemies that it's shown to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, so at number 9, and this was actually a demo, but it got so much praise from people, which is the PT demo, which was going to be the next Silent Hill game. I've played this demo, and yeah, it is fucking scary as hell. Really freaky. Some really weird stuff in there. And there's quite a few different endings, and there's another end, the ultimate ending, where it gives a reveal of the upcoming game, which is never going to come. I never got that. I never figured that out. But yeah, got a lot of praise. Did that? Anyone else play that?
No, unfortunately not. No, I think the only way I'm ever going to play that is if I find someone who's still got it on their PS4, or I'm going to just have to watch. I think I did try and watch a YouTube video of it, but just watching it wasn't enough. I think I need to play it.
Yeah,
watching it was enough for me.
Next is this was a freebie on Xbox recently. Layers of Fear. I've not played this yet.
Nope. Sorry.
This is, quite honestly, a genre that I am just completely not a part of. I don't do horror games. I've never been a big horror game fan.
Me neither.
If this is like Outlast, I've played Outlast, and Outlast scares the shit out of me. So,
yeah.
I'm surprised Outlast isn't in this list. I'd have substituted Outlast for Layers of Fear, but I've never played it, so... and then number 7, I think this is an oldish game from PS2 days, is Manhunt.
Yeah, I don't recall it being scary, but okay.
Yeah, I know it's a big murder simulator. But,
right.
Number 6 is quite a newish game, which came out recently, Evil Within 2. Right. Lost Fraser.
Right.
Yeah, Evil Probably Within 2. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people streaming this, and it does look cool. It looks quite scary. It looks more faster paced than the first game. I actually picked the first game up recently. It was £3 or something recently, so we've got that available to us, Greg.
Okay.
And then at number 5, we've got System Shock 2, which is, I believe, another old game. I've not played this.
Yes.
Any of you guys played this?
No, I have not played it. Fraser, but the PC just blue screened.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
And at number 4, we've got Call of Cthulhu, Dark Corners of the Earth. I've heard of Cthulhu, but I've not played any of the games.
Game. Yeah.
Number 3, this is one of my all-time favorite horror games, Dead Space. I love this game.
There's a great game. I could not get through Dead Space 1. It did freak me out, and I think it freaked me out partly because I felt I didn't feel empowered. The weapons I had, that they weren't great weapons in the first one, whereas I played Dead Space 2 from start to finish, and I think I liked it because there was a little more offensive capability in that game, and so you felt like you had a good opportunity to kill your enemies a little easier maybe than the first one.
I think Dead Space was the way they did the audio, made that game, the audio was absolutely fantastic. The ambient sounds and that, and making you think something was going to happen when it didn't.
Yes.
So. And at number 2...
I'm here!
Number 2 is Condemned Criminal Oranges. Oranges? Criminal Origins.
Oranges.
Yeah, what a pair.
I would play that.
Yeah, I got this as a launch bundle with my Xbox 360. The bastards at the retailers here made you buy like 5 games of the 360, so it was so hard to get hold of. And this was in on it, but
that's a great game.
I loved this game. It was so freaky.
In the mannequin area.
You sort of like the lights go out and they come back on, just all around you. Oh my! Yeah, still have nightmares.
What are you talking about now? Sorry, guys, I'm blocked.
Condemned
Criminal Origins.
And at number 1 is Amnesia: The Dark Descent. I've actually got this on Steam. It was in one of the Humble Bundles monthly ones I got. I've not played it yet, but I've heard a lot of people say it's scary. So, have you played this, Fraser? Amnesia.
I started to play it, but I didn't really think that much of it.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah.
So,
I think this is one like... has this got the Alien Isolation vibe where you can't fight back, you have to hide?
There's a lot of hiding in it, and staying out of the way.
Yeah.
So, those games, I have a hard time with those kind of games. Where
I
have
gun.
To hide. Yeah, give me a gun and make me feel like I don't have to hide.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed the middle of that. I mean, Evil Within 2 I haven't played, but I really did enjoy Evil Within.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to perhaps have seen that. And I'm surprised actually that they haven't got Alien Isolation on there.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, I'm surprised Outlast isn't in there, but some of the other lists had them in and some didn't, so...
game? I know it wasn't a scary game, but... the game freaked me out to no end was the very first BioShock.
Yep, that was on some of the lists. Yeah, yeah. The
that atmosphere that, of that
with that woman the nurses, with the pram. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was
good. Intense.
Yeah. That sort of got me thinking, what was your scariest game experience? And I put this on Facebook. We've had a couple of replies. Kyle Adams, he put Condemned. That was, one of his scariest gaming experiences had, and all the Red Ring of Death on the 360. and Lee Batchelor, Batch Gaming, he's put Outlast without a doubt so far, and he's currently playing Outlast 2. So what about you guys? What's your scariest gaming experience so far?
Well, I mean, I'll still put BioShock up there in that moment when you go into the doctor's area and the lights suddenly all go out and you just hear the splicer running around. The audio, the visual of all of that just properly freaked me out. And also just that game with the big daddies, you'd hear them off in the distance.
Well, the little sisters, were they called?
Little sisters. They were creepy as all get out, too. There was a lot of the vibe of that game, even though it technically wasn't a horror game, it dripped intensity.
What about you, Kim? Have you done a scary
one? Yeah, a couple. I like. And now I don't want to play BioShock, so thanks for that, Greg.
oh, it's a great game.
I remember a friend of mine brought over Silent Hill when it first came out, and all he did was play it. I just watched him play, and that was enough for me. I couldn't do it. The noise, the sound, nope, that's enough. And PT, I watched somebody play it on YouTube, and I couldn't even sit through and watch the whole thing. No. I don't play horror games, so no. No, thank you.
Fraser?
I'm surprised... the omission of Resident Evil 7 on there as well. I thought Resident Evil 7, I thought really, particularly the start when you're getting used to it. And you haven't got there, but there's some parts later on where you meet another member of the family. And I was like really freaked out by it.
The bit in the basement with the copper. Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'd have to think. I like being scared. You know, I like scary movies and stuff like that. So, Resident Evil 7 should be on there.
Yeah. Yeah, Resident Evil 7's on my list, along with Outlast and Condemned.
Condemned's a good one.
Yeah, Outlast. Jesus. When I first played that game, it was free on PS4 a long time ago. It's only just in the early stages of the game, and you get into the asylum. And you open a door and all of a sudden a body just drops on a rope right in front of you. And I screamed so loud. I've said this before on previous podcasts. I screamed that loud. I made the dog jump 6 feet in the air and run out. I made my wife like startle. Jeez. Oh, man. I'm going to have to finish that one.
I want to say it was Condemned 2.
I never played that one. Yeah.
There was a bit in that game where there's a grizzly bear that is coming after you. And it chases you into a building, and that just sequence had me on edge because, I mean, you would turn the corner and suddenly the bear would like bust through like a wall or a door, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it just had you on edge. Those moments are kind of priceless, but I don't look forward to those kinds of games. I really don't. I don't like being scared, unlike Fraser. I became a father and a husband, that was scary enough.
A couple of people in the chat have put their scariest moments. Womble MK3, Nick, he's put scariest game ever, playing a marine in an alien game with the lights off. That fucking motion tracker man. So he's put that. And I think Rubbish Username has put something, let me find it. Baron Von Glower, he's put System Shock 2 as well, that was on our list. The audio in that freaked him out. So.
Okay.
And he's also put PT. What Gone Home could have been.
Yep. Yeah. This is not the boringest list, though. Okay. Mark.
Yes.
Do we have a news jingle?
We do. Here we go.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so a lot of news this week. I was actually surprised how much I uncovered. So Figure we'll kind of run through this as we're talking about it. If you guys want to stop and discuss, by all means. FIFA and EA announced that they are going to be basically bringing their FIFA partnership to the eWorld sports arena in terms of an eWorld Cup has been announced. So
ooh, that's good timing because it's month. World yeah. Cup's next year as well, isn't it? That's good timing.
Yep. Yeah. So they'll put on the first ever eWorld Cup next August, but the competition starts next month, November 3rd, basically is when it starts. So it says competitors can qualify based on their FIFA Ultimate Team Champions Weekend League online performance. God, that's a mouthful. and at Blockbuster Live qualifying events from November 2017 until July 2018. So quite a long time, but it sounds like they're going to have a gigantic global event that will basically identify the top 128 competitors, 64 players representing PlayStation 4, and 64 players representing Xbox One. And then they'll continue on to the EA Sports FIFA 18 Global Series playoffs, and the playoffs will lead to the final stop, the Global Series Tour, the FIFA eWorld Cup Grand Finale 18. So
is FIFA 18 not on PC?
I don't believe so.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I don't think it is on PC, right. Now that I think about it. But yeah, so it says the competition will be take place in three different ways. There will be licensed qualifying rounds where independent organizers can set up official tournaments. And then there will also be official league qualifying competitions where established teams will hold tournaments. And then there's one other way, which I apparently failed to copy. But yeah, so FIFA going all eWorld Sports. This kind of, I already assumed it was happening, to be honest. But it's kind of cool the way they're doing it. I love the fact that they're taking PlayStation 4 players and Xbox One players kind of on equal footing. They're going to have kind of two divisions, and they're going to, again, kind of pit them against one another. That will certainly add to the fanboyism. Mm. That should make for some fun times.
Yes.
On a very sad note, the former Xbox Live policy VP Stephen Steptoe-Toulouse passed away just this past week. He was, you know, I think I first came across Steptoe when he was on the Larry Herb Major Nelson show.
Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he used to do his book of things, didn't he? Yeah, at the sort of like PAX and that. I really liked him. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was one of the founders of the Xbox Live online cheat
policy. He was there a long time.
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, he created the phrase the Steptoe's Law. Steptoe's Law was the book, by the way, the book of law.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
and it was banned protests, but then he had this kind of phrase, the more convoluted, overwrought, and lengthy the protest of innocence, the probability of it being bullshit approaches. Probability of it being bullshit approaches one. So basically, he's just saying the more people were protesting and claiming they weren't cheating and they were throwing their hands up and making a big stink about it, the likelihood is they actually were.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so sad to see that he had passed away. I believe he was battling cancer.
Yeah. I know he was in hospital a couple of years ago, wasn't he? Really, really ill, and he pulled through that.
Yeah.
Because that's when he just left Microsoft, and wasn't it working for Black Tusk before it became the Coalition in Canada?
I don't know if he was or not. I just remember
I think he did something for them.
It was very sudden that he left. Yeah. And I always kind of wondered what happened if there was some kind of bad situation, but now kind of makes a little more sense.
Yeah. I used to enjoy him on the podcast. Yeah. He's going to be missed.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, if you ever get a chance and you're curious as to kind of what his laws and policies were, you could probably find some audio recordings of him doing readings at PAX.
He used to go to PAX. Yeah. Yeah, the
read from his book.
The panels he was on with, where he used to read out the book and the way he worded it, it was so funny, absolutely brilliant.
Very well. Anyway, so you will be missed, Mr. Steptoe, and we wish you all the best in your next life. All right, Steam on a positive note, introduces digital gift cards. So not only can you gift a game, but now you can actually send money. So they have some typical denominations you can do, the 5, 10, 25, you know, that kind of thing.
This will make it easier for us for doing the prizes.
Yeah, it will definitely make it easier for us doing prizes, and it will also make it easier for people to...
Money laundering.
Yes, money laundering and stealing your money.
Apparently, don't you have to have been friends for quite a while before you can send them money? Or is that something else?
I believe there is some limitations on how long you can... So you can only send funds to a Steam friend you've had for more than 3 days. So yeah, that really long waiting period of 3 days.
Right?
Yep. Once you've been friends for 3 days or longer, you can send money. So hey, if you're listening to this right now and you want to be my friend, I will not send you money, but you are more than welcome to send me money.
Just on a side note, on the same sort of like topic, the preview program people on the Insider program on Xbox One, they are rolling out next week game gifting. That is going to be an option soon. So if you go on the store, you'll see an extra box where it says buy and that, and it'll be to gift it. So that's coming next week. So that's going to be really cool. So... birthdays and Christmases, you can just gift games. That's going to be really handy.
You know, what's funny is, you know, at the beginning of this generation, we had this huge stink about always online and these, you know, DRM filled systems. And this was always in the cards.
Yeah.
And these kinds of systems are just reinforcing that. For those that don't believe that, I'm sorry, but that's the reality. These systems it's getting you to buy into digital. You know, by sending money to Steam, you know, giving gifts over Steam now is just reinforcing buy your games digitally.
You could always gift games before, but now you can actually gift money.
Yeah. So. And the DRM is certainly, I think, being handled a little bit better or for the most part better than what we initially had feared. I think this direction is just going to continue.
Yeah.
So,
and sorry, I've just seen you actually put in my notes about the gifting on Xbox Live.
No, that was perfectly done, Mark. It was perfectly done. So another sad piece of news. Microsoft has finally killed off the Kinect for good. Microsoft has been slowly chipping away at the Kinect's usefulness and features across its platforms. Yet today's news comes really not as any shock. The company announced that the manufacturing for the motion sensor input device has been shut down. So they will no longer be creating any more Kinects in the future. However, that technology will kind of live on in some things like the iPhone X, for example, that has some of the technology from Kinect in it. I think the HoloLens is using one of the Kinect array headset sensors as well. So the technology, I think, has its place for some things, but Kinect as a device
and Kinect 2.0,
rest in peace.
Yeah, the Kinect 2.0 was a huge improvement over first. It had so much potential.
Mm-hmm. It was
it's a shame, really.
That's the thing. I mean, it's amazing. There's no doubt that it's amazing, but
especially voice commands. But no one uses it.
Well, you know what's
anymore.
Actually
how does the Kinect?
Well. I remember years ago playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer or single player and just shouting Lara, whatever it's Singularity, and she'll throw Singularity. That was really cool.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not utilizing any of the Kinect's.
She's in the audio,
tech.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you could do have a headset. Yeah, I know. Right?
Okay, first of all, Kinect gets a kind of quote unquote last laugh in that everybody like. Pretty much shit on Kinect, and rightfully so, because from a motion camera, it wasn't fantastic. The voice technology, again, wasn't fantastic, and I say that because there was always issues with feedback from TV and speakers that messed with Kinect because of its proximity to them. But newsflash, all of this Alexa bullshit, all of the Google Dot bullshit, all of that is Kinect. That's what that is.
Yeah.
It's voice recognition devices that are picking up your voice. You're saying out a command, Google, Alexa, Xbox, and then it triggers that device to listen to you. Yeah. That's exactly what Kinect was from a voice recognition standpoint. So, you know, maybe it was before its time. Maybe it was a poor implementation of the technology, because I'll say this, if they had put that in the controller as opposed to on your TV, I bet that technology is far more used than it turned out to be.
It was funny because the other day I had the radio on in the car, and someone on the radio said something like, "Hey Siri, what about this?" And all of a sudden my phone started dictating it because it went, "Hey Siri," and it sort of like activated and started copying everything this guy was saying. That was weird. But there's a lot of things now that uses voice commands. So.
Yeah, it's become a huge technology push. We want to be lazier than we already are. Nintendo Switch got a big update this past week. And amongst its treasure troves of secrets, one of which was the support for USB headphones, which I think came to a lot of people's happiness in terms of the lack of headphone support on the Switch. But also, will now work with the GameCube controller. Yeah. So the support built into it for the GameCube controller. I don't know if this is a really big demand for this or this is a thing, but apparently it's there.
Well, I think games like I've heard Hadley Dan and Gary Lever talking about Stardew Valley, and that's a lot easier with a controller than using the little things. But
there you go. Break out your old GameCube boxes, pull those controllers out. You can use it with your Switch.
I'm going to shock everybody.
Unfortunately,
I'm going to shock everybody now. Since I played Robin's Switch, I want a Switch. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know. It's just having time to play one of it.
I hear you. It was cool. It was a very impressive piece of technology.
It's really nice.
Yeah. And black screen, that's what I saw. Yeah. Robin didn't let me play his Switch. But the one caveat, if you do want to use your GameCube controller, you do have to have the USB adapter that Nintendo released for the Wii U some time ago. Because apparently that is what actually connects it up to the Switch. So, there you go. Hey, Fraser, I know you were saying you were a little bummed that a bunch of people left PUBG for Destiny 2.
Don't come back.
They may or they may not, man.
They will.
Destiny 2, apparently, so far in 2017, the biggest game, according to the NPD group. It's already the best-selling game of 2017. Now, that is physical release, so I tend to think that this might not be so accurate because I think PUBG has been crazy big numbers. And that's been all in 2017, but who knows?
We haven't got a number. Where's the number?
They didn't give a number. They just basically said... it was the best-selling game, and it was released. This information was released the day before it was coming out on PC. They said it makes it the third best-selling game in the last 12 months, behind Call of Duty: Infinite Warfare, that was out in September 2016, and Battlefield 1. Interesting to see those two games are the two top dogs in terms of the past 12 months. Destiny 2. Apparently, it's popular.
Yeah, Nick's gonna hate me now, but Destiny 2, as much as a great game it is, I've already got bored of the grind. I played Destiny 1 a lot more than I played Destiny 2. I don't know. It just hasn't grabbed me as much as the first game. I just hate that grind, getting my better gear. I was given the impression it was going to be not easier, but more fluid to get the upgrades, and it's just not happening for me.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that they had got pretty much every weapon in the game, and then it was like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah. So, but yeah, maybe the DLC will reignite that spark.
I'm sure they're hoping. Especially since it's not free. Original Xbox games are now backwards compatible on the Xbox One. So if you own any of the following titles, Black, Blood Rain 2, Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge, Dead to Rights, Fusion Frenzy, Grabbed by the Ghoulies, The King of Fighters, Neo Wave, Ninja Gaiden Black, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, Psychonauts, Red Faction 2, Sid Meier's Pirates, or Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Any of those original Xbox games now work on the Xbox One. They're upscaled to 1080p. I believe for most of these games, though, they're still maintaining that 4x3 format, with the exception of a couple. Ninja Gaiden Black is the one for sure that I know actually goes out to a 16x9 screen format.
There is one game what I really want from the original Xbox, and that is Simpsons Hit and Run. I loved that game. I played hours and hours of that. Absolutely loved it. Still got it on disc. Well, still got it.
Yeah. So if you, by the way, if you have any of these games on disc, when they do release out Simpsons Road Revenge or whatever it was called, I forget which it was, Simpsons blah, 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 they're $10 if you want to buy them. So not a bad price. $9.99.
Yeah, I actually looked at see how much Black was, and it was £6 UK. Because I've heard a lot of good things about Black.
Yeah. I am actually tempted, ironically, by Fusion Frenzy.
Give over.
Wow.
That game just looks like fun
with
a group.
It's good co-op.
Couch
co-op fun, yeah. I own that digitally. I think it was... Do you know what the original... When Xbox Live first went live, you got like a pack, didn't you, with a headset and everything. I'm sure that came as part of one of the games. I might be wrong. I've played it, though. Yeah, it's quite cool.
Yeah. But the game I'm really waiting for, though, is Mech Assault.
Yeah.
That's the game I'm waiting for. All right. And finally, last but not least, Sony is going to have a fairly big presence at Paris Games Week. You okay there, Fraser?
I'm tired. Sorry. It's all catching up with me, Greg.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, Fraser, this is not going to add to your tiredness, or it is going to add to your tiredness, but if you wake up at 8 a.m. Pacific time on this Monday, then...
What was that? No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It'll be 5 a.m. for you, won't it?
Yeah, they're going to be kicking off a live stream.
It'll be 11 a.m.
What?
I'll be a bit at work. Yeah. Oh, that'll already be
11
a.m.
I am going the wrong way, aren't I? Yeah.
You are. But they're going to be introducing 21 games at Paris Games Week, 7 of which they're saying are all new game announcements for PS4 and PSVR. And then the Sony actual media showcase will hit at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. So your lunch hour. There you go. Don't take a nap. Watch the press conference. And there, they said they're going to give you an exclusive look at the new wave of huge PlayStation titles. Expect some announcements next week from Sony.
So am I missing something here? Is this what they used to call the PlayStation Experience, where they started doing their own thing?
No, sir.
The same thing? No?
No. This is Paris Games Week. Think of Paris Games Week as Gamescom, just not nearly as popular.
I'm going to say I've not really heard of this before.
Yeah. Well, it's never been a big show.
Right.
It's become kind of a relevant show because Sony has decided to skip Gamescom for their press. And now they're going to Paris Games Week, and they're making announcements there. So they've single-handedly helped the French have a relevant game conference. All right, and that does it for news. So really, at this point, it's time for some podcast trivia.
Oh, shit. Hang on. I'm on the wrong page.
It's
time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
All right, so this week we have two quizzes.
Who's that handsome young chap who's there?
How can you tell he's handsome by his voice, Fraser? That's what I want to know. He must be. Bearded wonder. all right, so we have two trivia contests, really. One is from Jason Johnson. Obviously, that's our main news trivia that we'll go through, our video game trivia. But then, Mark, you've composed a little trivia for us as well.
Yeah, Halloween special quiz.
Yes. So we'll go through Jason's Yeah, not really. But we'll go through Jason's, and then
I need extra points.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. And then we'll go through Mark's trivia. So here we go. Let's kick it off. By the way, again, Jason Johnson, thank you very much for sending in the trivia.
Thank you.
Question number one. What year was the first Tony Hawk Pro Skater game released?
Oh, my lads loved
what
that. How old were they?
Was the first Tony Hawk Pro Skater game released? Was it A, 1998, B, 1999, C, 2000, or D, 2001? What year was the first Tony Hawk Pro Skater game released in?
Just run through the years again, Greg, please.
I will run through the years one last time, and only one last time. One ping only. A, 1998, B, 1999, C, 2000, or D, 2001. What year was the first Tony Pro Hawk skater game announced? Go for it.
So I need your answers after three. Three.
And let's see here. We have two, three answers. Everybody is saying A, 1998. And the correct answer is B, 1999.
Oh, one year
close.
Out.
So close.
I knew it was around that time because my two lads loved that game. They, I think they played it on the PS2, and they had all the cheat codes, and we used to do, like, million spins in the air, because they'd, like, turn gravity off and stuff. We used to get, like, mega million combos. So, yeah.
Thanks, little buddy. My beer assistant just brought me a Java chip from Starbucks. Yes, my son, my beer assistant. Yeah. It's my son.
Very good.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Trivia question number two. Here we go. Love the little guy.
Of course you do.
Oh, there's times when I don't. 6 a.m. in the morning on Saturday.
I know. Yeah. I don't think I'd want to hear you out of pocket. I don't love him.
All right. Here we go. Question
number
two.
Just to let you all know that.
The character Tingle. The character Tingle first appeared in which Legend of Zelda game? Did you not think – you knew you were getting a Nintendo question. Come on.
Yes.
The character Tingle first appeared in which Legend of Zelda game? Was it A, Ocarina of Time, B, A Link to the Past, C, The Minish Cap, D, Majora's Mask? When did the character Tingle first appear in The Legend of Zelda?
Tingle.
Not a personal anecdote.
So I need your answers after three. Three.
Smooth. all right. So now we have a couple different answers. We have Fraser and Kim.
It is Halloween. Too.
Kim. Yeah, it is Halloween. Yep. They have said Majora's Mask. Mark has gone a different path. Mark has said the Minish Cap.
Yeah, but the only one I haven't heard of, so I've gone for that.
Okay.
It probably right. Jason's probably pulled that out of his ass somewhere. Just probably don't even probably don't even exist, does it?
Yeah, it does. Minish Cap's good.
Yes.
All right. All right. Okay.
I've never, All of these games are real.
Right. Okay.
And Mark, your logic is completely sound, and yet totally flawed. It is not the Minish Cap. It is in fact Majora's Mask. Well done, Kim. Well done, Fraser. Kim, I think you now are edging back closer to Mark for the lead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, now we have a Halloween special movie audio quiz that is bonus points, apparently.
No, so. There's no points. It's just for fun.
No. Oh, I see how it is.
All right. Hang on. So I've got 10 horror movie theme songs, right? And so what you've got to do is you've got to name the movie. Okay. So here's the first one.
10.
Yeah.
I know. 10.
Hang on a minute. All right, what's this one? Any ideas? Yes, Greg?
I have a question.
Yep.
were these movies played in the US?
Yeah, I'd have thought so.
Just double checking.
Yeah. Well, if you don't know, I'll have to move on because it's gone on to the next one now.
Yes.
That was Rosemary's Baby.
I was going to say, okay. It sounds like it's something old, but all I could think of is Gregory's Girl, and I didn't think that was going to be the right answer. It was not a horror movie, was it?
All right. Next one.
Might have been.
Next one, here we go. And everyone in chat, you can join in as well. Help him out.
Yes.
This is never going to finish at 1 o'clock. Rubbish.
I am going to suck in this game.
I want to say Beetlejuice.
No, yeah, it has got a vibe to it.
Yeah.
Kim, no?
Exorcist?
It was, no, The Ring. So there are some hard ones. Right? They're going to get a little bit easier now. This one, I love this movie, so you should get this one. Right, okay. Here we go. It's a British film.
Oh. The 28 Days?
Yeah. Well done, Greg.
Look at that.
Well
Boom.
Done, Greg.
Point.
Well done, Greg. Right, I'll cue it on to the next one. Right, here we go. This is an oldish one, an 80s one, but it's popular.
That sounds like,
Give you a clue. He had,
it's English? I was going to say, it sounds like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, it is. Well done, Fraser.
That's
Nightmare on Elm Street, well, I was just going to say, his name's got something to do with England in the surname, so yeah.
Oh, Robert England.
Well done.
Yeah, well done, Fraser. So, come on, Kim, you're lagging behind now. This one is quite an easy one. You should get this. Right, here we go.
Yeah.
Psycho?
Yeah.
Psycho, yeah.
Yeah, right, well, next one. Cue this one up. Yes, right, this might be quite easy. So. No, this won't be easy.
I was going to say, because Thriller wasn't a movie.
No, I'll give you a clue.
Right?
This is the third installment of a franchise. Quite a popular franchise.
Halloween?
No, the other franchise. Jason Voorhees. Yeah, yeah. That was an ad on that. All right, this next one you should get. I've already played this earlier tonight.
I'll give that to you, Fraser.
Head spins round. Projectile pea soup. Yep.
Exorcist.
And then, so number three. Right, this is probably the easiest one of them all.
Come on, Kim.
I'm not hearing anything.
What is it, Kim? Sound of silence. Can't hear it.
You can't hear it?
No.
Jaws.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Number two.
Is that it?
No, there's one more. Yeah, that was Jaws, sorry.
I never heard it.
I only heard a little smidgen of it, and I immediately knew
one chord.
Yep.
Right, that's weird. Can you hear that one?
This is Halloween.
Yeah, that's Halloween. Yeah,
that's Michael Myers. Big time.
Yeah, and then the last one. It's quite hard to get from the theme tune. Is this? Little doll rides around on a tricycle.
Saw?
Yes!
Oh,
Saw,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, Saw. Okay. Well done, Kim.
Well done.
On the
never seen Saw, just, you know. I got the little dude on the tricycle, that's all I knew.
There you go.
I just want a tricycle.
And I immediately went to The Shining when I heard about the bicycle. Yeah. All right, I'm just declaring myself the winner on that one. thank you, Mark. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
A few people in the chat got some right. Baron von Glover mainly got The Exorcist, Jaws, and Halloween. So, yeah, well done.
Good deal.
What's next
Good question? Deal indeed. Kim.
Yes.
why don't we run through the games that people can expect to buy and spend their hard-earned money on next week?
Yeah, okay. Let me scroll down there. Mm-hmm.
Like instead of a Price is Right, you're going to get Halloween as background music.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Our new releases, October 28th through November 3rd, are Bubsy, The Woolies Strike Back for PS4, PC, well, PS4 and PC on the 31st. Steven
Game
Universe.
Game of the Year.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah, you know.
The Kill Woolies. Me now.
Okay, Steven Universe, Save the Light for PS4 on the 31st.
Never
Call of Duty. World War II for PS4 and Xbox One and PC on the 3rd. And Steven Universe, again, Save the Light for the Xbox One also on the 3rd.
Fraser, what is your commentary about Call of Duty? Come on.
It's Call of Duty, isn't it?
Yeah,
the quicker that these developers, Call of Duty, Battlefield, whoever else it may be, can just get on board and just pull their fingers out. They're probably doing it anyway, and just please produce your version of the Battle Royale game. I'm waiting for it. I want the floodgates to open. I want the AAA titles. I want you all building your Battle Royale games because you know that that's where the money is. You know they're all scrambling around now to make them.
Probably.
So let's
probably.
Do it. I'm so bored of Call of Duty and Battlefield campaigns and stuff like that. I'm sure they're good games. Typical spit and polish or whatever. They'll shoehorn in now some microtransactions or loot crates or whatever, and it'll be the typical bullshit that we've heard a million times before. But, I don't know. It's another Call of Duty game, isn't it? I didn't hear many good things with people playing the beta. A lot of people just like, eh.
The only thing I've heard is mainly from the Gamesman guys that even in the beta, there was a lot of cheaters on PC. A lot of cheaters.
Well, PC gamers are basically cheaters, let's face it.
It's called you out there, Fraser.
That's fighting talk. What do you mean, me? Why is it called me out?
You're a PC man.
Xboxes hooked up downstairs. What are you talking
about? PUBG.
PUBG for life.
Gee, all right, Kim, and real quickly, why don't we go through the free, and I say free, games that we pay for.
Alrighty, let's scroll down to that.
I'm making you work.
Freebies. I noticed. Here are your monthly freebies. We have for the Xbox One, Trackmania Turbo, available November 1st to the 30th. Tales from the Borderlands.
Trackmania Turbos.
I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah. It's good. We were all over that when it was first released.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago either, was it?
No, it wasn't. So,
that thing is running fast and furious, that game.
You know what I think that game came up against? It was Forza Horizon 3.
Yep, you could be right.
I think they came out right around the same time.
Sorry, Kim.
All right. No, that's fine. Tales from the Borderlands, available November 16th to December 15th, also on the Xbox One.
Has its charm. I'm going to give you a commentary on all this, right? That game has its charm. I tried to play it and got extremely bored very quickly. But from what I hear, that's right. Mm-hmm. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, full season. Yeah.
That's good.
On the 360 or backwards compatible games are Nights into Dreams for the November 1st through the 15th and Deadfall Adventure through the 16th through the 30th. Also, we have...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, those are October's.
What's coming for PlayStation Plus?
No, they're October's. November's haven't been announced yet. So these are what you can get now.
My PlayStation Plus lapsed, actually, so I'm not getting them. But Metal Gear Solid 5, the whole thing, the best game. Yeah. Probably possibly one of the best games of this generation.
Yeah, it's a superb game. And, this is what I haven't got it on PC. It's PS4, look, Amnesia Collection. So I knew I had Amnesia somewhere. Horror games on theme with our Halloween topics. We've taken over, Kim.
You did have some Amnesia.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what we should play in Extra Life? Have you guys got Phantom Pain on the Xbox?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah, we've got it in the sale,
multiplayer.
I haven't played multiplayer.
That game is a laugh.
Right, you're on. Yeah.
I think it's still in plastic. Maybe. Not sure. Anyway. Maybe not. I don't know. I'll have to find it because all my stuff's packed up in a box somewhere because I haven't unpacked it all yet.
Have you played that game? Well, it doesn't matter whether it's in plastic then or not.
No, I haven't. Sorry. Okay. It's on my yolk, so no, of course not.
Oh, goodness sake.
I hear you, Fraser. I hear you. Oh, man. It drives me crazy when she says, look what I bought, and then it's like 3 months later, look what's still in its plastic.
This is no joke. This is no joke. Some people being like, Fraser, you know, like, I think too, mainly because I talk to Mike. I'm like, Mike, why don't you play more PUBG? And he's like, I can't. I'm on a podcast. I have to play other games, right? I go, don't worry about it. Just play whatever you want to play. Look, I'm on a podcast where one of the people on the podcast, their top five games of the year, three of them they never played. Three of them. They said they looked like good games. I can get away with anything. Don't worry about it.
Yep. No, Kim.
I'm not naming names, though.
What kills me with Kim is she literally buys. You buy quite a few new games.
I haven't this year, but yeah.
Yeah. And apparently, you don't own any kind of sharp instrument that cuts through plastic.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Christmas time. Yeah, I'm going to buy you a little pocket knife.
Kim has the. I like. Like a lot of PC people who play PC games, like we buy tons of PC games and you never play them. That thing is, it's not unheard of. But Kim, she pulls up in her limo and goes, I'm not buying budget humble bundle games for a dollar for three, right? That I'm never going to play. Not like Fraser, who built up a library in a year of 600 shit games he's never going to play. No, Kim rolls up to EB Games, gets out of the black limo and goes, I want that. Hard copy for $60. I want that hard copy for $60. Put them in that plastic bag. Put them in the back of the trunk, and then I just now let's go do something else. And I'll never forget. I'll never play them ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she rolls up to the GameStop whatever and gets out, and she walks in, and they're like, "Well, we've got a used copy of that game on the shelf there. You can get that instead." She's like, "Is it in plastic?" "No, it's not. I don't want it then. I don't want keep it in the plastic."
Well, it's like our grandparents. They bought my new furniture and they leave it in the plastic. That's me with video games.
They'll be worth a fortune in 20, 30 years' time, Kim.
You can still use the furniture, though.
No, side note. By the way, if you own a couch and you have it covered in plastic, is there something wrong with you? No.
Okay.
No, we know that. No, we know that.
You don't know someone called Mr. Wolf, do you?
No.
I was going to say, I have an antidote for that. I have a friend of mine who went out here a couple of years ago and bought new furniture. He still has the tags on them.
Yeah.
And the other day, here a while back, the tag fell off of one. He sewed it back onto the couch. So, I'm not so bad.
All right. Let us move on.
Let us pray.
Yes, let us pray, indeed.
Yeah, so the rest of the PS Plus ones were Riggs, if you've got the PSVR. That's You, Monster Jam Battlegrounds, Hustle Kings, Hue, and Skyforce Anniversary.
Yeah, the rest of it reminds me why I let it lapse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mark, what's the play date tomorrow?
No idea. According to this, it's Fortnite.
Okay.
So according to this, Fortnite Battle Royale, so we could do this on both PS4 and Xbox One and PC. If we've got enough people to host on each one. We've changed it now to 8 p.m, haven't we? Because it's easier for people.
8 p.m.
UK time, yeah.
Yeah.
So might have to do some adjustments. So our clocks go back tonight.
UK ones go back tonight, so it'll be a 4-hour difference for you tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, for basically a 2-week period of time, we will be completely screwed up on when things turn, start and stop.
Yeah.
By the way, for Extra Life, I am not doing the I'm going 25 hours. I will play 24 hours.
Who said
I made
they
the mistake.
Did that?
Me and Rob Ron.
I made the mistake. I did it as well.
About four years ago, it landed on the UK time schedule where the clocks changed, and both me and Robin did 25 hours.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you.
I remember giving you all kinds of crap and pressing you into that.
And then the last few years, you've popped for it all,
Yep. And I hated it. I was so pissed off at myself for agreeing to it. I was just like, that was a dumb idea. And also, Extra Life, shame on you for scheduling this around this time of year when you have this. Come on. Anyway. All right. Mark. Fraser.
Yes.
can I ask you if you would be so kind to walk through the victories achieved and Year of Living Gamers League games?
You know what? We're really pushing time now. So do we need to explain what victory achieved is?
We do not. This week?
Okay.
Let's just run through the victories achieved. Give them their proper name.
This week's victory achieves, we have the wonderful John Mouse finished Final Fantasy Rhythm, which I quite like to play. Teflon, Heady Heights, and probably a semi-exclusive club there, finished Cuphead. Yes. Kim, Cuphead looking completable at your end? No, you looked down at the floor there. You went no and looked down at the floor there. I saw that. So I believe.
Probably at some point, yes.
I love in the little Pikachu here keeps flopping when she moves her head forward.
Yeah.
You look really cute in that.
Thank you.
Oh, actually, there's not too many victory achieves.
No,
there's one more after. Colin Old Cars finished South Park, The Fractured But Whole, and Hot Up, what? Something you'd like to share with the rest of us?
You find that funny?
Easily amused. Yeah. We're children, remember.
Yeah, this one, Robin didn't put it on, but yeah, I pulled this off Twitter because it's special.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter just before we came on, so it was his timing was, well, I mean, quite rightly should be very proud to put this up. Our friend of the show, Dastardly Jabby, Mr. Chris Jellyman, just finished his 50th game off his Yolg list. He finished Sniper Elite 3, which I think he said he played co-op with somebody.
Yeah, did he?
Did he gamer?
Yeah.
50th game, well done.
Yes.
There's those of us who are struggling you know, mine's a ground to a screeching halt.
Yes.
Some people have struggled to even get into double digits. And he's gone on and just... 50th game. Amazing.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
Yep.
Well done.
Or
and with that, Mark,
you all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Rubbish username said in the chat, what's victory achieved? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Damn it. Look on bongo.ocpod.com.
Real simple. Just finish game, tweet it out to us at @OC_podcast, and we will read off your name and the game you completed. And if you're lucky, you just might win $20 on Steam, PSN, or Xbox Live if you're chosen. All right. And that's a quarterly draw, just for the record. If you want to be part of the conversation, we are on every week, Saturdays at 3 p.m.
Apart from next
UK,
week.
Sorry. Yeah, fair enough.
Most weeks.
Except for next week. Next week, we're going to be on at 10 p.m. UK time.
No, we're not. It's Extra Life.
On Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah.
3 p.m. West Coast time, 6 p.m. East Coast time. There's a couple times of the year we're not on Saturdays. But for the most part, we're here every Saturday. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, all of those good places. And also, if you would be so kind, leave us a review. We definitely like more people to find us, and the only way they find us usually is by seeing more reviews for the podcast. We have a lot of different clubs. There's the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One. There's the OC Podcast Community on PS4. And there's the OC Podcast Group on Steam. I like how there's all different clubs, communities, groups. Can't you just call it one thing? And we have a Discord channel.
Right.
If you are a Discord user, I've heard there's a few. Mm-hmm. We do have a Discord group. In fact, we have a Destiny 2 clan even on through Discord. So get in there, get connected with us and other gamers. That's the best part about it. You're going to find a bunch of people that you can play games with and just chat with. That's the best part about it. We have a lot of different people we can just have conversations with. And with that said, Mark, we've got some audio.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Boing. You need a big boing at the end of it. Twang.
makes me feel like I need a shower every time. All right. Let's do some shout-outs. Mark, why don't you start us off? We'll just go down the line.
Yeah, well, my first one is a public service announcement for everyone in the UK and probably Europe. The clocks go back 1 hour at 2 a.m. GMT, well, BST. So we'll be back on GMT, so we'll get an extra hour in bed. Yay! On a big shout-out to Max Faded. I know Robin shouted him out last week, and I wasn't on last week, but we played Sea of Thieves with him. Me, Nicole and Robin played with Max Faded, Stephen. He was such a nice guy. He helped us all the way through and just a superb ambassador for PC gaming and Twitch and everything. So yeah, big shout out to him. I want to shout out Game Pusher Podcast for finally getting another episode out. Yes. And everyone with Extra Life, all the people taking part, everyone who's donated so far and all those who are going to donate to me. over to Kim.
Yeah, that's me. I'm at GamerGirl27 everywhere. That's Xbox, that's Steam, that's Twitter, yada, yada, yada. I want to shout out, you know, you guys, like always, it was fun. You know, it always is, and, you know, puts me in a good mood. Especially you, Fraser the Lumberjack.
No, yeah, it definitely cheers you up. It cheers me up tonight, so yeah.
So, and I want to shout out to the people in the chat. We've had Baron Von Glauer, Martin's been in there, RCGC's in there, Rubbish Username, Soul Brother, Womble, and McWalls420. And if I just bungled that, I'm sorry. So, you know, you guys are the reason we do this thing. So
it was in there, McWalls?
McWalls420. Yeah, I haven't seen this one before. So, ooh, you know, but you're the reason we do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, welcome. Yeah, we don't mind lurkers. You don't have to take part in the chat. Just lurk away and give us a follow. Yeah, super.
Exactly. So, I guess that's it for me. How about you there, Foo?
I give a shout out to everyone in the chat as well. Thank you for turning up and listening. Everyone who listens normally, to Greg and Kim for being on the show, and especially for Mark, how pleased we are to see you back, mate.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Things are hopefully returning to some normality, and you know, now you can pull your finger out and get on PUBG. Yay! You keep promising. Yeah. Although suddenly now you're playing Assassin's Creed. It was, I just got to play a bit of Destiny and then I can get on. I'll be back on.
I'm halfway through bloody Horizon Zero Dawn as well. It's all right, juggling
Resident that. Evil. Now we got that on the. I mean, we're lost, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm. Good luck in Extra Life next week. I'll see you there.
For a little while.
Hopefully quite a bit of it.
Yeah. No. You were actually really great last year supporting us. So
yeah, it's fun.
We appreciate your support. We appreciate the support of everybody. As what has already been said, definitely thanks to the listeners for taking part in the chat or chat, depending upon how we're feeling that day. Mark, I just want to point out that when I saw your shout outs, I read the Extra Life Peeps as El Peeps, and I was trying to figure out what, like, it's just like something Mexican, maybe. Yeah.
Diablo.
So the El Peeps. But yeah, big shout out to everybody taking part in Extra Life and everybody who's supporting us in Extra Life. It really does mean a lot. I've been doing it. This is my 8th year now doing it. It is crazy to think about that, but it is a worthwhile cause. And with that said, thank you so much for listening. Tune in to the next time we air, which will be Thursday, not Saturday, just this one time until I say otherwise. And have a great weekend. And thanks again for listening. Ha ha ha!